good morning, TNC family, on this first Sunday in November, where today here, we start a three-part series called Up that will lead us right up to Thanksgiving week. This week, we're going to talk about the change up. Next week, waking up. And then finally, looking up. And what I mean by these phrases will become clear as we go along. Just know for now that they reflect real life situations and conditions folks find themselves in. And to be even more personal, this series was conceived because of not just general real life situations people find themselves in, but rather because of actual stories, challenges, dreams, goals, and hopes currently facing folks within our own TNC at-large community. And we're going to think about these things from the foundations of the scriptures and science, as we always do, while trusting the living God to speak to us in our situations through them. And to be redundant here for just 30 seconds, I always pair the scriptures with science because, remember our convictions, articulated well by the Italian philosopher and theologian Thomas Aquinas, who wrote about 800 years ago, sacred writings are bound in two volumes. Volume one, that of creation, and volume two, that of the Holy Scriptures. Or in the words of Galileo Galilei in the 17th century, quote, God is known first through nature, science, and secondly by Christian doctrine. Or in the words of 21st century author Barbara Mahaney and her most recent book that we read together last summer, through nature, humans can best come to a deeper knowledge of God. For God has infused the natural world with symbol and meaning, and if only we read what's there in the trees and the storms and the stars and the hives, we might more fully comprehend the Creator. Nature itself reveals the divine. As the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. And so, we really can understand God's wisdom for our situations, standing on the foundations of Scripture and the revelations of nature, always trusting that the living God can speak to us in our situations through them. So now, let's talk about the change up. And I want to start with this sound. So listen. And for those of you who are under the age of 40, this machine is called a typewriter. And for about 100 years, this was the most important tool in the business world. If you were going to go into any business, you had to get one of these and learn how to type on it until things changed. And there was another invention, not just a typewriter, but an electric typewriter, which worked exactly like the typewriter, only it was electric. You plugged it in, and I remember going to school, and we would sit at these little desks, and we all practiced learning how to type on electric typewriters. A-A-A-A-A, S-S-S-S-S, D-D-D-D-D, F-F-F-F-F. Now today, of course, it's virtually impossible to find electric typewriters in businesses or homes because things kept changing, and something else got invented, which was the computer. A big piece of metal that sat on desks with no actual internal hard drive in them. There was just a little place where you could insert inside them something called a floppy disk, although it was not floppy and it was not a disk, but you could boot up Microsoft 1.0 in about 5 minutes. It was amazing. But after a while, some people said, something needs to change. I'd love to carry these around with me, and so they went on to create something called the laptop, and it seemed like you couldn't get any more awesome or less heavy than that until once again things changed and they changed and they changed and they changed. And now we have virtual reality and artificial intelligence and computers inside that watch on your wrist with access to more information on your wrist than all the library books and all the universities and all of the world. What's up? Change is up. Change up. And it's not just with computers and smartphones and apps for everything. It's not just with Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and social networking. It's DNA, RNA, get an MRI, quantum science, expanding universe, encrypted passwords for your Wi-Fi, robotic surgery, fiber optics, TV that's streaming, light-emitting diodes, liquid crystal displays, likes, followers, ratings, human genome mapping, white hydrogen stents, transplants, doorbell cameras, working from home. I'd like to go out, but too busy, can't. Wealth gaps, political correctness, strikes to raise an employee's wage, nationalism over population. But if you're born today, you'll live to a ripe old age. YOLO, GIFs, iOS, ADHD, CDC, GPS. Vaccines, AI, ChatGPT, carbon footprints, climate change, solar energy, drones, bombs, a tense coexistence, relativity, electromagnetism, and spooky action at a distance, change. And times continue to change faster than ever. I'm quite sure, I don't have to tell you. 90% of the data in the world has been generated in the last 2 years alone, which means no matter what area of knowledge you pick, the half-life of any subject, physics, biology, cosmology, computer science, archaeology, you name it, the half-life of any subject is getting shorter and shorter and shorter, meaning your information base can be wrong in a hurry. What's up, TNC? Change. Now, I love change until somebody comes along and changes something I don't want changed. I mean, if I choose the change, then I like to quote Guns N' Roses and believe we're heading to Paradise City where the grass is green and the girls are pretty. But when somebody else chooses the change, then I like to quote the words of AC/DC, we're on a highway to hell. Because human nature is, I like the change I initiate and feel ready for, but I'm not too sure about the change up you're throwing my way. And this is the spirit behind the baseball pitch called the change up. I'm going to throw you something that you're not anticipating or ready for. Surprise, I'm breaking up with you. Surprise, you're not going to quit on your own terms. You're fired. Surprise, you're not going to leave the party when you want. I'm turning out the lights. Party's over. Surprise. And you better sit down for this. It's some bad and unexpected medical news. See, you name the category, but it's all the same. I don't mind the change I initiate and am ready for, but I'm not real fond of the change up you're throwing my way. And not only am I not fond of it, I'll push against it. This is why, for example, in ancient Athens, Socrates and his followers criticized and complained and pushed against the development of handwriting and the written language, claiming you're going to destroy people's minds, their memories. And did you know that in the 1500s, controversy rocked the church surrounding the invention of the printing press? Because many people said that this new technology would put the Bible in the hands of ignorant folks, when it's the experts, you know, the monks and the priests, who ought to be reading and interpreting God's word for the people. Change. And sometimes we get to choose the change, but more often, change chooses us, which brings me to one final thing about change. Much of it is good, but eventually there will come some change that will bring you pain. If you live long enough, change is going to hurt. I know of a couple who were married for 50 years, and then one of them developed dementia and eventually it required around-the-clock care in a facility, and so her son took her to the facility. And the first night in her new room, he went to tuck her in a little single bed that they had for her to sleep in, which felt horribly sad to the son. But then she said to her son, "Where's my husband? I always sleep next to my husband. I want to sleep next to my husband." And the son was caught off guard by this question. And the only thing he could think to say at the moment was, "Well, Mom, this bed is just too small." To which she replied, "But I could curl up into a real small ball." Because it was a change that nobody wanted and it brought pain. And there's just no avoiding it. Sometimes change will bring pain. We all know of too many children who used to go to bed at night, put their head on the pillow, knowing both of their parents were in the room next door, only to find out one day that their mommy and daddy are not going to live in the same house anymore. Because it's inevitable, change sometimes will bring pain. I think, too, about a woman or a man who has a job they love. They wake up happy to go to work. They feel good about it. They sense that people respect them and come to them for advice. But then one day they are told, in so many words, that their ideas are too old. And so it's time for some change, and new folks who have better wisdom and advice are coming in, and it's a change that brings pain. TNC, change happens. Much of it is good, but much of it is out of your control, and eventually there will come some change that will bring you pain. So, what do? Where do you go? And I think this is a really important thing to think about from time to time. So, we might as well think about it now for a few moments. Who and what do you count on, rely on, trust in amid our changing world? To which some folks will respond, "I'll tell you what you can count on. The only thing you can count on is more change." But the psalmist in Scripture would disagree, has a different answer, beginning in Psalm 102, verse 25. Quote, "God, in the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. And even after they are gone, you will remain. They will wear out like a garment, and like clothing, you'll change them." He's talking about seasons changing. "But you, O God, are the same. Your years have no end." And then later, God, through the prophet Malachi, makes a similar statement, chapter 3, verse 6. "I am the Lord, I do not change." And then 500 years later, the apostle James would write, chapter 1 and verse 17 of his letter, "Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows." The shadows are always there, he says, and they will always shift, but God does not. And so I want to mention now three aspects about God that never change, because I think these are three things that we can lean into, stand on, place our hope in, find wisdom through as we navigate all the changes that come our way. So here's number one, first thing that doesn't change about God. Number one, God's purposes never change. And now think about this for a moment. From the very beginning of history, in light of what the scriptures tell us, God's intention for the creation was and always has been forming people that he could love and bless and share life with. That's the purpose. Even when things get derailed in Genesis chapter 3, I mean, if you were to read Genesis for the first time ever, you might think at that point, "Well, if I'm God, I'm just going to hit delete and start over." But no, God forgives and remains and continues to partner with and then comes to us through Jesus to set things right, to suffer alongside of us, to die our death, to die with us so we could live with him. So we could be part of that purpose. The purpose of, one, investing our lives in the well-being of others. Two, in adding beauty and creativity and love to the created order. And three, doing all of this in community with one another and with God. This is the never-changing purpose, us partnering with God and others, and I believe it can give us endurance and hope amid our changes and could lead to prayers like this. God, as I navigate this change, my change, I will remain in partnership with you, and I will stay connected to others. I will fight the good fight. I will keep the faith because your purpose never changes, and I will cling to that amid my change. Okay, that leads to number two, a second aspect of God that never changes. First, God's purpose never changes, and then number two, God's presence has never changed. I remember years ago when I would drive my daughter to elementary school. It was about 45 minutes away because of the morning rush hour traffic. I mean, it would take us about 12 minutes to get there at midnight, but it was 45 minutes at 8 a.m. And I remember the day, I think she was just in first grade, I told her as I was dropping her off, "Have a good day. Love you. I'm praying for you." And she said, "You're picking me up, right?" And I said, "Of course. I'll be right here when you walk out." And then when I would pick her up, I would arrive a little early, stand there waiting for her. And when she would walk out, she would look around, and then she would always get a big smile on her face when she saw me. Because we all want someone to be waiting for us, to be there for us. This matches the wisdom and the words of Henry Nouwen, the great spiritual writer who writes that, quote, "No one can stay alive when nobody is waiting for them. Everyone who returns from a long or difficult trip is looking for someone waiting for them. At the station or the airport, everyone wants to tell his or her story and share his or her moments of pain and exhilaration with someone who stayed home, waiting for them to come back." And you know, the Bible teaches that God is always here, always waiting for us. "I stand at the door and knock," Jesus says. "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. I will be with them." God's desire to be present with us has not changed, TNC. And I don't mean to imply he drops us off for the day somewhere. He is always waiting for us and is always with us. Even when our purposes can get derailed or detoured, God's presence never changes. And here's a third thing about God that never changes. Number three, God's personality hasn't changed. Because you can have someone's presence with you always, but that could actually be a bad thing if you never know what kind of mood they'll be in. Like, does anyone here ever wake up on the wrong side of the bed? Do you ever find yourself in a bad mood? Do you ever have an off day? Well, God never does. The psalmist puts it like this: "I will sing of the Lord's great love forever with my mouth. I will make known your faithfulness, your unchanging goodness to us, to all generations." And I hope you see now that God's unchanging goodness comes to us, is revealed in many ways, including things like gravity and mathematics. Wouldn't it be awful if some days 1 + 1 = 3, and some days it equaled 7, and other days 2? Or what if the principles of lift, drag, thrust, weight, and aerodynamics changed from day to day? And now just think about that. God will always be faithful, starting with the created order, but then moving to things like this. God has never desired to withhold mercy from you. God has never been tempted to hold a grudge. God's commitment to justice and human dignity has never wavered one bit over the millennia. As the writer of Hebrews puts it, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. His love, just as strong as ever. His humility, it's just as deep as that day when he took a basin of water and washed his disciples' feet. His compassion, it's just as tender as when he reached out to touch a leper nobody else would get close to. Here's a question for you. Is there an area in your life where you would like to experience the unchanging purpose, presence, and personality of Christ? And if so, will you just put specific words and thoughts to that today? And then will you seek to experience this unchanging purpose, presence, and personality alongside a community of folks? And then I want to say one final thing, one bit of good news about all of this, because not only does God's purpose, presence, and personality never change, but in addition, God is still in his prime. Think of it this way. Think of the NFL, football. In the 1960s, it was the purpose, presence, and personality of Johnny Unitas, Joe Namath, Bart Starr. In the 1970s, it was the era of Staubach and Bradshaw. That's when they were in their prime. In the 80s, it was Joe Montana and Dan Marino. They were in their prime. In the 90s, John Elway and Steve Young. In the 2000s, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. In the 2010s, Drew Brees and Tom Brady. So far in the 2020s, Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. But human strength ebbs away. Human beauty fades. Human energy wanes. Eventually, we're all going to peak, and then another generation will rise, except for God. It's always God's generation. God's still in his prime. The psalmist says to God in Psalm 145, "Your dominion endures for all generations," which means cities will be born and then die. Countries will rise and fall. Civilizations will emerge and then end up on the ash heap of history, but not God. God's wisdom is just as wide. His love is just as deep. His creativity is just as fresh. His eyes are just as sharp. His heart is just as soft. His resurrection power is just as great. God has not slowed down or eased up. God has not thrown in the towel, raised the white flag, tapped out, or retired early. God is in his prime. And in a world that is ever-changing, we can count on this never-changing God. Will you pray with me? God, I pray now for every person listening. I pray that they would find great confidence and hope and peace in you, because you are unchanging even when our paths are not predictable and not trouble-free. But you are the one who always offers your purpose and presence and peace and wisdom along our journey. God, I pray that we would be a church family that strongly supports one another with grace and love and faithfulness to each other as together we follow you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, TNC, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.